I'd like to first establish my credentials to talk on the topic of the state of communal kashrus. I've worked for the OU for the past 25 years as a kashrus administrator. In addition, I have been a rabbi in a local community, in the community of Edison Highland Park, New Jersey, and I'm a member of the Vat of Kashrus of that community for the past 26 years. And finally, I have had the pleasure to visit a number of cities on behalf of the OU to do a review of the local Vat HaKashrus of those cities. And this has given me a unique perspective on Vade Kashrus in different cities. And it's interesting that there are many parallels that I have observed in cities across the United States. And I'd like to offer some generic observations about how to set up a Vat of Kashrus. In truth, every city is different. Each circumstance has to be dealt with in its own right. But there are certain general observations that I think are valid for Vat of Kashrus in a general sense. And that is what I'd like to share with you in this talk. There are basically two primary models of local supervision that you will find across the United States. The first model is a single VAD, which oversees all the kosher supervision that is available in the particular city. And the second model is that the individual rabbanim in the city provide their own hashgachos to various establishments. I am a very strong advocate on behalf of the first model, the Vat HaKashrus model. I'm a devoted fan of having a Vat HaKashrus, and there are a number of reasons for that. Firstly, when Rabbanim give their own private Hechsherim, this invariably leads to machlokas and wide-scale divisions within the communities. It's a very unfortunate reality of Jewish life that the most fertile grounds for machlokas are religious structures such as the Erev, Mikvos, Mechitzos, and particularly this is true with respect to kosher supervisions. It's not unusual to come into a city and people will say to you, well, I don't need this establishment, or I don't trust the hashgacha of this rabbi, and my rabbi says that this hashgacha is not up to my standards or his standards. And the result is that people, not only do they formulate these opinions about the hashgachas, but it ends up resulting in people saying, I can't eat in your house because if you buy products from that store or this store, then it doesn't meet my standards. And this leads to complete division within the community. And in contrast, when there's a single Vat HaKashrus, this makes a very powerful statement of unity among the rabbis, and everything filters down from the top. And when there's unity between the rabbanim, then there is unity among the baal batim in the community. And there, lo matzah kadosh baruch hu kli machzik bracha kamo hashalom. There is no better way to help a community grow and develop than to have a platform of shalom within the community. Achdus is the solid and fertile platform for communal growth and development. That's the first reason why a Vat HaKashrus is so much better. Secondly, when you have a single Vat HaKashrus, the Rabbanim all work together to enhance the standards. When people do it on their own, there's always the risk, even the best person in the world, he still remains only one person. He doesn't have another person reviewing his work, and problems are more likely to arise. When you have a group of Rabbanim who work together and in concert, each one is able to offer their input and their review. Two pairs of eyes are better than one set of eyes when it comes to kashrus, as it is in many other areas of life as well. and kashrus, therefore, is much better served when you have a single vat hakashrus. Now, having said that, that a vat hakashrus is more efficient, it's more effective, and it provides a much better platform for shalom within the community. Nonetheless, a unified vat hakashrus presents its own challenges. And I'd like to discuss those challenges now. Rabbanim are generally occupied with communal responsibilities, and when there's a vat hakashrus, they don't have the time to be involved in the nitty-gritty details of kashrus. And in addition, Rabbanim often lack the level of expertise that's necessary to provide quality hashgacha. And as a result, most vadei hakashrus employ an experienced kashrus professional who administrates the vad, and he performs, or he has other mashgichim that perform the actual inspections of the facilities. Now, that easily leads to a problem, because the question is, in the vat hakashrus, what is the relationship between the rabbanim and the kashrus professionals? And furthermore, in the vat hakashrus, it's important to establish whether is it a lay organization or is it a rabbinic institution. Now, it's not uncommon for rabbanim to completely abdicate their involvement in a vat hakashrus and leave the kashrus professionals in charge of the ship. It happens because they don't have the time to be involved, they don't have the expertise, so they say, look, we have somebody who we hired, he's a professional, let him handle it and take care of it. So they completely abdicate their role and their involvement in the kashrus arena. And in addition, there may be a lay vad that oversees the work of the vat hakashrus, and they end up, the lay vad ends up having far greater input than and control than the rabbanim in the city. Now, this, in my opinion, is a very great error. It's the wrong route to go, because kashrus is the province of the rabbanim, and it's the rabbanim who should bear the responsibility for hashgachas by setting appropriate standards and rendering halachic decisions. Who should be in charge of kashrus if not the rabbanim in the city? So what then is the relationship between the rabbanim and the kashrus professional? I think we can make an analogy to government. The rabbanim are the legislative branch of supervision, while the kashrus professional is the executive arm. The rabbanim make the halachic decisions, they set up the systems, they set the standards for the vad, but the actual execution of the supervision is handled by the kashrus professionals. Now, there's another important advantage to this model, and that is that the field of kashrus is no different than any other field where people tend to experience burnout after they've been on the job for a long time. And that's one of the great hazards of kashrus supervision. Mashgichim will get burned out, or they visit a facility over and over again and it always looks the same to them. They begin to miss things. They're not as careful, as meticulous as they should be. And everybody functions better when they have accountability. It helps keeps the mashgichim on their toes, and it helps maintain their vigilance and their passion. And so when you have the rabbanim overseeing the vad and setting the standards for the vad, and at time to time the rabbanim should actually visit the facilities, and the day-to-day work is done by the mashgiach, that is the model that works the best, in my opinion. The role of the lay vad should be to deal with financial matters, administrative issues, things of that sort. But anything that has to do with kashrus is the province of the rabbanim. Halachic decisions, standards, who is qualified to serve as a Mashiach, hiring, things of that sort, that should be the role of the Rabbanim. If the Rabbanim abdicate their role, then either the kashrus administrator will run the show by himself, or lay leaders assume control, and that's an unhealthy and inappropriate arrangement. So this is the best structure for the Vaad. The Rabbanim should oversee the work of the kashrus professional. He reports to them, but it's the kashrus professional that does the actual day-to-day work or oversight of the supervisions. Now, this leads to another problem, and that is the challenge of making decisions when you have a large group of people doing oversight. If the kashrus professional reports to the Rabbanim when decisions have to be made, it's very difficult to get all the Rabbanim together and to make a conclusive decision. It's difficult first to convene a meeting of all the Rabbanim. Anybody that's a member of a Vaad knows how hard it is to find a day which everybody on the Vaad is not occupied with other responsibilities, to find the common denominator for the members of the Vaad. Very difficult. And even when you get the Rabbanim together in a room, so you have, you know, they say tongue-in-cheek, 5 Rabbanim, 10 opinions, it's difficult to reach decisions when you have a large group of Rabbanim. In my opinion, the way to go is to have a three-tier hierarchical structure within the Vaad, and that is the Vaad Rabbanim should set up a small committee to relate on a day-to-day basis with the Vaad professional, so that if there is a question that comes up, if the professional needs a decision, he should be in touch with the committee. There should be one person who is the head of that committee, one of the Rabbanim, and then together one or two other Rabbanim. They're the ones that should be making the decisions on a day-to-day basis. The broader Vaad empowers the committee to use their best judgment and make decisions. Now, when there are major policy issues that have to be decided, the committee should bring those issues to the general Vaad for a decision. Either they could be done through email, or there could be, although email meetings usually don't get any place because there's very, very difficult to reach a conclusion with a email discussion. But at least the issue could be passed around through email, and or the Rabbanim, or eventually the Rabbanim will meet and discuss it. So major policy questions should be brought to the attention of the Vaad, and they should try to formulate a position together. But the ongoing day-to-day management of the supervision, that can be done or should be done by interaction between the Vaad professional. He's the one that visits the establishments, and if there's any question, he'll be in touch with the committee, with the small committee of Rabbanim, who they have the authority to make decisions on a daily basis. Now, the next challenge to having a Vaad HaKashrus, and this is perhaps one of the reasons why in many communities there is no Vaad HaKashrus, is that a Vaad has to have a set of standards. And the question becomes, whose standards? It's natural that if you're going to have a group of Rabbanim, so the Rabbanim are going to have different opinions. Kishem Shem Partzufeim Shavim Kachein Deyusein Shavim. And each Rav is going to have his own view of how the Hashkacha should be run and his own standard. And the question is, how do you bridge the gap between the different rabbanim? Avad can't function with five different opinions. Avad has to have a unified position or unified standards. Different rabbanim come from different backgrounds. They have different orientations, different approaches to halacha. Their judgment is different. How are you going to establish one standard that shaveh l'chol nefesh? So there are three basic approaches that you could take. In my opinion, two of them don't work very well, and the third is the ideal. First approach would be to say majority rules, similar to what you have, structure that you have within a Beis Din. You have a group of people, you have 13 people on the VAD, so when an issue comes up, you take a vote, and whoever has the majority, that's the group that prevails. The problem and the difficulty with this approach is that there may be Rabbanim on the VAD who feel strongly about their position, and they may feel in good conscience that they cannot adopt the lenient view of the majority. When it comes to a Beis Din, so that's the halacha. The halacha is achra rabban lahatos. The halacha is the way the Beis Din, the way the majority of the Beis Din sees it. But when it comes to kasher standards, so there are different standards out there, and there may be certain rabbanim that feel that they simply cannot live with the standards of the majority of the vat. The second approach would be to follow the highest common denominator. And that way, no Rav on the Vad will feel that there are compromises that are taking place. This is also problematic, and that's because a rabbi who is machmir may end up controlling the Vad. The other Rabbanim of the Vad might feel that he has hijacked the control of the Vad with his positions that are consistently stringent, and stringent positions don't work well in terms of helping maintain a cooperative relationship with the proprietors in the establishments. And relationship is an important and integral part of the supervision, because as much as when you supervise a store, you're not relying on the integrity of the store owner, you're relying on the ability of the mashgiach to control what's taking place in the store. Nonetheless, the cooperation of the establishment is crucial and essential. Yes, you could supervise anyone, even a person who's a major con artist and a crook could be supervised if you have adequate control, but it becomes far more difficult. In the end, we don't rely on the integrity of the store owner, we rely on the controls of the hashkacha, but nonetheless, a supervision where the baal batim in the establishment are cooperative runs far more smoothly than in a case where it is not. You don't have a cooperative relationship. And when you have standards that are too extreme, it becomes difficult to win over the support of the store for the supervision. One needs to have a flexibility in order to maintain goodwill and cooperation. And if Avad is overly stringent, this could ultimately weaken the quality of the hashkacha. So following the highest common denominator does not always work as well. The third approach, which is the one that I would recommend, is that the Avad should choose for themselves an outside posek, and it should be someone that's shavu chol nefesh, that they all respect, and they're all willing to live within the framework of that person's decisions. And this way, the rabbanim don't have to argue about the halachic positions and standards. If there's a shayla, they could each state their opinion, but then they'll take the shayla to this competent rav or competent posek who will give them direction how to run the supervision. I think that is a method that works the best. There's also, as long as we're talking about having a Rav as a consultant, there's really two levels of consultation that is necessary. One is in terms of the actual Piskei Halacha, and the other is things that go beyond Halacha. Not every decision in Kashrus can be made in the halachic domain. There are many areas that are gray, that are not governed by pure halacha, such as what type of frequency of visitation constitutes yotzei v'nichnas. You can't look it up in Shulchan Aruch. Not every question can be found discussed by the Shach and Taz. And it's enormously helpful to have a consultant who is a kashrus professional, who has had years of experience in supervision, and he's equipped to be able to help give direction to the Vat. So that if you have a halachic consultant and a sort of like a kashrus consultant, that structure provides the necessary guidance for the Vat to be able to make decisions both about which standards to follow, which halachic positions are the right ones for the Vat, and also to help give direction for the Vat how to operate. It's possible to sever the two. You could have one person who serves as the posuk for the Vat and somebody else that gives the Vat guidance in terms of the general procedures and policies or systems of the Vat, but the Vat does need to have that type of support. And by acquiring both halachic and practical kashrus consultation, the local Vat is in the best position to make decisions. And by having that support, the members of the Vat should hopefully all be comfortable, and it removes the potential for dissension within the Vat. You can have heated arguments over matters of kashrus. In this way, everybody in the Vat says, okay, we're going to an outside Beis Din or an outside kashrus professional, and we'll follow the procedures that they recommend, and that is an effective way to handle the kashrus.